is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
We are indeed Bill and Allison. Good morning, Allison.
I'm Allison.
As far as I know, you are still Allison, and I'm still Bill.
Welcome.
We are indeed. I'm glad to have you with us this morning on a
we are
cooler than expected Saturday morning.
I know.
I would say when we got up, it was quite cool out. I couldn't believe it.
Hard to believe.
Still going to be 100 today, they say.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But anyway, we are Bill and Allison, as I think someone mentioned. We are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
That was my line.
Oh, that was your line. I'm sorry. The American. You can say. Go ahead.
In the American
way. And the American way. Thank you. Well, we are never PC, are we, Allison?
No, we're not.
What are we?
We're politically incorrect.
PI, politically incorrect. Most importantly, we strive to be BC, which is
biblically correct.
See, I'm giving you a chance to fill in there. Oh, I am a native Texan from Dalhart, Texas, originally, way up in the panhandle. Almost not in Texas, but in Texas. That's good enough. And Allison, you are?
I'm Native American.
You're Native American. Not only were you born in America, but...
unlike you.
unlike me. I was born in Texas.
You were born in Texas.
All right. It used to be, before the War of Northern Aggression, that aka the Civil War, aka the War Between the States, aka, as Granny on Beverly Hillbillies called it, the war between the North and America, but we'll leave that aside. It used to be that people were loyal to their state first and then to the United States. And that's why Robert E. Lee, Lincoln asked him to lead the Union Army, because he was a brilliant general. But since Virginia had seceded, he felt his first duty was to his home state of Virginia. So that's a little factoid. Mm-hmm. But you are a Native American, too. I mean, Chickasaw, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am.
Okay. Trigger warning, Allison and I identify as non-binary. We are non-binary. My pronoun is, preferred pronoun is Brandon. And what's yours this week?
I identify as a conspiracy theorist. My pronouns, told you so.
Told you so. Okay, I hadn't heard that one, but that's cool. I guess you can change your pronouns.
Of course.
As often as you change your genders.
Every week.
Yeah. We always like to start our program with a verse from the Bible. This is from the Gospel of John, from chapter 11. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Benjamin Warfield, a professor and a prolific author of the 19th century, I think. Christ himself deliberately staked his whole claim to the credit of men upon his resurrection. When asked for a sign, he pointed to this sign as his single and sufficient credential. Well, let's see. We've got going on today is Orson Bean's, actually yesterday, on the 22nd of July. Andrew Breitbart's father-in-law was born. Now, we have to explain who Andrew Breitbart...
Not yesterday.
We can't do... No, on... Well, not yesterday. No, he wasn't born yesterday. I wasn't born yesterday. Andrew Breitbart, you may know of Breitbart News. Well, he's the one who founded Breitbart News. And he apparently was a brilliant guy. I never knew him or knew of him until he died. But his father-in-law was born on July 22nd. His name was Orson Bean. Everybody likes Orson Bean, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know Orson Bean. A couple of things about Orson Bean. He was born on July 22nd, 1928. He was a distant cousin of President Calvin Coolidge.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. In later life, he became quite politically conservative. And he gave his son-in-law, do you know this story, Allison? What he gave to Andrew? Because Andrew Breitbart was not a conservative. He was pretty liberal. You want to tell the story?
Well, no, I don't remember the details.
Oh, the details are
I have heard the story, yes.
He gave him a copy of Road to Serfdom by Frederick Hayek.
That's right. That's right.
If you haven't read, audience, if you haven't read, I'm talking to you now, everybody in radio, it's a very personal medium, so I shouldn't say audience. But I want to differentiate from saying it to Allison. That's my dilemma. But if you have not read Road to Serfdom, and the man's Friedrich Hayek, H-A-Y-E-K, it's a fairly short book. But it has influenced countless people in understanding what the mechanism of freedom is, and the road to serfdom means what's wrong with socialism, and it's good fodder for you in talking to people and presenting clear arguments. And anyway, it's called Road to Serfdom. Orson Bean said the thought that being a conservative in Hollywood was much like being a suspected communist back in the 1950s. And actually, I was just reading Maury Riskin's book. Maury Riskin was a very left-wing. He was a near-communist in Hollywood, a very famous writer. He wrote
For the Marx Brothers.
For the Marx Brothers, exactly right.
And we were friends with his son.
We were, Alan. And in Washington, when we both worked on Capitol Hill, and Alan was an editor of Human Events newspaper. But so that was Maury Riskin's son. Alan used to talk about, home.
I remember that. Like Bob Hope would come over for dinner.
Bob Hope would come over for dinner. You know, Groucho Marx or some of the Marx Brothers would come over.
Exactly.
That was just very normal for him.
Yeah, that's the way he grew up.
Yeah, very cool. Grew up in Hollywood. That's life in Hollywood. Well, later on, Maury Riskin became quite politically conservative, and he was blacklisted. He writes in his book, his memoir, you hear a lot about the blacklisting of communists in Hollywood, but you don't hear about the blacklisting of conservative, which goes on today. Jim Caviezel, is that how you pronounce it?
Well, actually, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I was going to talk about him a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
That is latest movie. So,
yeah, well, he's one who played Christ in The Passion of the Christ, and he's producing this Sound of Freedom movie and all that. But he says, the discrimination against conservatives, against Christians in Hollywood is right out in the open. He said, he's working on a movie and he made some pro-Trump comment, and somebody said, oh, you're one of those. You're one of those Christians. Yeah. So that's Orson Bean. He will be remembered. He was a cool... Somebody called him a cool, wisecracking charmer who was like a hip uncle who, when your parents weren't looking, would slip you a copy of Playboy, let you take a slug of his beer and tell you a dirty joke. Orson Bean. That's pretty cool about Orson Bean. But and we have another little announcement.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air, I don't care. My love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue.
Yes, that's Tony Bennett, and we're sorry to say that if you haven't heard, he passed away yesterday at the age of 96, just 2 weeks short of his birthday. He was graced a decades-long career that brought him admirers from Frank Sinatra to Lady Gaga. He was called the last of the great saloon singers of the mid-20th century, 70 albums, 19 Grammys. Frank Sinatra said, "For my money, Tony Bennett is the best singer in the business." He gets across what the composer has in mind and probably a little more.
And our sister-in-law ran into him in a hotel where he was performing, and she has a picture of him. With him in the elevator.
That's right. Golly. Tony Bennett. Sadly missed, but we have his recordings, and probably a timeless performer, I would say. Timeless performer. Frank Sinatra also said about him, "For my money," he's the best singer in the business. He's the singer who gets across what the composer has in mind and probably a little more. Tony Bennett passed away yesterday at the age of 96. Uh-huh. On this week in 1878, a team of astronomers converged on Fort Worth to observe a total solar eclipse. A man from Harvard College Observatory, now Harvard University.
Well, now what year was that?
1878. He was directing the party, and it was a big deal for them. The studies led to important findings regarding the height of the sun's chromosphere and dramatic images of the solar corona. So that must have been... Now, it says a total solar eclipse, but you don't get the corona in a total, do you?
Or is that, I believe you do.
They're both considered total, even though one is called Ring of Fire and the other is perfectly obliterated in the sun?
Yeah. I think there is a corona in the total. And for those of you who are in our listening audience, as in close to Kerrville, we're going to have two eclipses coming up very soon. October 14th of this year, we're going to have a Ring of Fire eclipse. And then in next April, we're going to have a total eclipse. Now, total eclipses happen all the time, but in the continental United States, they're very rare. As a matter of fact, the next one in the continental United States after this one is going to be 2044.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you how rare they are.
Okay. Well, we have a... I know what you want to introduce that story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I consider it a woke alert, given the... nature of the story, how it all started, what we're going to be talking about. So don't you consider it a woke alert, Allison? All right, it's not an air raid. It's the Bill and Allison woke alert.
And the story, Bill doesn't, there's some parts of the story that Bill does not know.
Okay, well, you want to start at the beginning, how it all started?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think it should start with the tweet.
Well, yes, the tweet includes how it all started.
Right. A friend of ours tweeted yesterday.
Well, I sent her an email, that's why.
Yeah, but Bill sent our friend a copy of some email correspondence. And she tweeted out, and Bill doesn't know this part, She has 500,000 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
Well, and she said, my good friend got an invite to a Ben and Jerry webinar. His reply. And then.
Yeah, what happened was I'm on an email list of the San Antonio CEO Club. They wrote to me and said, Alexandra Green was her name. I don't know her, but I'm on her mailing list. Well, she calls me W, so obviously she doesn't know me very well.
Well, no, because...
I'm on a mailing list.
Yeah, as WJ.
High first name. Okay.
As WJ.
All right. My point is I don't know her.
Right.
She writes, the San Antonio CEO Club is hosting a webinar with both founders of Ben and Jerry's. I think you would enjoy the group. And then she wants me to join and pay the money and all that. So this is the...
I thought it was free.
No, you have to join.
So I didn't know
Ben
that.
And Jerry get money too. I don't think they do it for free. So I wrote back to her and I carboned on my typewriter, and then I sent him a telegram. But I CC'd. Well, if you don't know, on your computer when you CC someone, that stands for carbon copy. I am accurate. Technically,
that's
accurate.
True.
All right, but I CC'd some friends, and Juanita Broderick was one of them, and she tweeted out to her.
And she has 500,000 followers.
I know. So what I wrote and what got tweeted out as well to her followers, dear Alexandra, the one with the San Antonio CEO Club, after she said, come to our or participate in our webinar with the founders of Ben and Jerry's, I said, dear Alexandra, really? The founders of Ben and Jerry's, the same guys who tweeted, quote, this 4th of July, it's high time that we recognize the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land and commit to returning it, unquote. The same ones who were made a national laughingstock when the chief of the Nulhegan Band of the Kosuk Abenaki Nation called out Ben and Jerry's for keeping its headquarters on his tribe's land in Vermont. You invited those woke idiots? That is so tone deaf. Sincerely, Bill Mancaro. So there you go. I deserve that, I deserve a couple of bongs on that one, I think. Speaking of bongs, we're going to be talking about that later on in the show.
We are.
Hunter Biden's lawyer was caught smoking a bong during a conference with his client.
Out on his balcony.
On his balcony, in plain view. Giving legal advice, smoking out of a bong. What a clown show that is. When we come back, we're going to have more with about Juanita, I think. We have an interview with Juanita Broderick coming up later in the show, and that just might be right after the news, right after the break. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out.
Radiance to nations near and far, emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long.
We have a very special guest on the phone.
We sure do.
Right now.
We sure do.
Juanita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Juanita Broderick online.
It's so good to talk to you too, my dear friend.
Oh, you're a sweet
man. Well, we really appreciate you calling in. And one reason Juanita is in the news right now is because thanks to Elon Musk and to Cat Turd, Juanita has been released from Twitter jail. And Juanita is trending on Twitter.
Absolutely amazing. You know, when I first started back, I didn't even realize that Cat Turd had tweeted, to Elon, please bring back Juanita Broderick. And somebody had texted me and said, "Did you see this?" And I went to it, and I was overwhelmed. You know, I wouldn't ask anybody to do that, and for him to do it on his own, I thought was just so kind. And so then he texted me, and he said, "You're going to get back on." And I didn't really believe it. You know, I just thought, no. And then all of a sudden, voila, it happened.
Why were you kicked off Twitter?
It was a vaccine tweet. Yeah. I said the vaccines don't work, and it's a shame because it's made enough money for Big Pharma for the next 100 years. I said it's harmful, something to that effect. And we know it. They're still trying to hide it, but we know it is.
And what our listeners might not know is that Juanita is a nurse, so she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, Juanita, I probably told you this, but I got kicked off of LinkedIn for that same reason. I posted a link to a video of 50 medical professionals, physicians, nurses, PAs, etc., questioning the vaccine very early on when it first came out, and LinkedIn didn't even give me a warning. It was like I was gone. You know, my account was gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know. I know you told me that. LinkedIn, I couldn't believe it. And listen, we all know that this is an experimental vaccine. And for them this is going to come around the bottom in the butt.
I hope so. Did you see the news story that one of the people who in charge of kicking people off of Twitter is a transgender person, extremely left-wing? Fired Twitter content moderator is a super woke trans woman activist. The guy.
I know. I tweeted. I said, "Is this a man or a woman?" You really couldn't tell. You know, I think he is really cleaning house, and I think it's absolutely awesome. And he has told people time and time again, he is not pro-Republican, pro-Democrat, pro-anything. He's for an even playing field.
You're talking about Elon Musk.
We need this bad.
Well, I know that Elon has announced that he's going to release all internal communications at Twitter regarding the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop information just before the election.
I couldn't believe that. I tweeted about that and said he's going to do it. He's going to release all of this information, internal communications about what they did, when they did it, how they decided to suppress that bombshell laptop. I mean, you could see, you know, when he went to, did you see the tweet where he went to a closet there in the main office building?
Yes.
And found all of those woke T-shirts?
Yes. Yeah,
it's amazing what he finds and reports every day.
Yeah,
you know. But the big thing right now, did you see the tweet from Proud Elephant?
No.
He said, "Would you support Ron DeSantis in a presidential 2024?" And Elon replied, "Yes."
No kidding.
And so, and that's got the internet really humming.
I'll guess.
Excellent.
I guess.
Elon voted for a conservative woman here in Texas, and he said it was the first time he'd voted for a Republican, Myra Flores.
Yeah, along in these tweets, he also said that he voted very disappointingly for Biden, and you could tell that he wishes he could take that back.
Yeah,
because didn't Biden say that he wanted to investigate Musk and, you know, start looking
at
him? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah, it's all so screwy.
They're all afraid of free speech, because the only way the left can succeed is through propaganda and by suppressing any dissent. That's the only way they can succeed. They
can't, exactly.
Yeah, if they can't suppress dissent, they're going to lose. They don't want. If you noticed, when you try to reason with a leftist. Quite often, not every person, of course, but quite often, they'll just call you a bunch of names. That's how they argue.
I know. They have no argument, Bill, at all. I have to share this one thing with you real quick.
Sure.
About when I said, I'm back, and I said, thank goodness to Elon Musk and Cat Turd, you know, just something like that. And one of the first responses was, Bill Clinton has left the chat room.
Oh, my.
I absolutely laughed out loud on that one.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Juanita Broderick, and I'm sure you're familiar with her name. Her reference there, in case you didn't catch it, about Bill Clinton has left the chat room, she was raped by Bill Clinton.
You know what Elon said? The people have spoken. Vox populi, vox dei.
Yeah.
The voice of the people is the voice of God.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I had to look it up.
when he tweeted that. I did too.
But had to look that up. I couldn't believe it. And shortly after I came back on, I tweeted, you know, in the trendings, I was number two or number three.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a big story out about Tampax, which was down number five. And I tweeted, well, thank heavens I'm above the Tampax.
I know. I was glad to see that. Well, and Elon also said, comedy is now legal on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, he brought back the Babylon Bee, bringing everybody back.
Well, and actually, the reason we met Juanita, and I know I've told her this story, but we met Juanita because of Twitter.
That's true.
But through our friend Mary King. And Mary invited us to a book signing at her home in Ruidosa, New Mexico. And I said, how on earth do you know Juanita Broderick? And she said, because of Twitter. So it's because of Twitter that we became friends with Juanita.
That's true.
And, oh, I feel so fortunate.
There you go.
And as Cat Turd said, you won't meet a more wonderful person than Juanita Broderick.
100% true. 100%
true. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That was so much fun.
Well, Juanita, it's been a delight to hear your voice again. It's been far too long since we've seen you. We hope to.
Yes.
Again, congratulations being back on Twitter. And what's your Twitter handle, by the way?
It's at a tennis nut, and it's spelled A T E N S N U T. I'm a huge fan of tennis, so I took that handle up long ago and have stayed with it.
Okay, so at tennis nut is Juanita's Twitter handle. And we're pushing for a million following Juanita. So get on Twitter and become a follower of hers, and we'll hit that million mark in the next few days, hopefully.
That's great. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Juanita. We will talk to you soon.
Well, when we come back from this short break, we have, speaking of breaks, breaking news about Texas A&M. You won't believe it. Stay with us. About Texas A&M President Catherine Banks is resigning as of today.
The president
of A&M.
I did not know that.
Is resigning because she tried to hire a super leftist, super woke woman, black woman, to run the journalism department, and she got so much blowback that she has to resign.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, this woman is called Kathleen McElroy, And she is a New York Times, former New York Times editor and huge proponent of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI for short. And how you're the president of A&M and you're so blind to do something as stupid as that, just like the San Antonio CEO Club having founders of Ben and Jerry to speak to them, is beyond belief. But the thing, leftists always go too far. They always take it too far, and there's blowback. And this is what the president of Texas A&M did, apparently. She realized it, and her position, she says, is just untenable. She's resigning as of today. She is
right.
Out.
All right.
She is out. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. That's big news. What you got, Allison?
Well, Saharan dust is back. And this is something, we moved here from the Washington, D.C. area, and this is something that's new to us. We did not.
Yeah, Allison and I met on Capitol Hill when we were both working for members of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any Sahara dust. And, no. We had a lot of other trash in Washington, D.C., but not mostly from the swamp.
But we're going to be seeing hazy, milky skies. And if your allergies start to flare up, that's the reason why.
Ooh, Sahara, really dust from the Sahara Desert?
Oh, yeah. This happens, Bill, on a regular basis.
Yeah, I guess I do
not,
remember
not
that.
Not every single year, but it has happened more than one. I remember the first time when we first moved here, I was wondering, what on earth is this? And then I did
well,
some,
that was, I remember they said it was fires in Mexico. Remember that one?
Well, that, yeah, that too.
Oh,
but
great.
But this is Sahara dust.
Well, we ought to, if we had secure borders, we wouldn't have Sahara dust or smoke coming from Mexico.
That's right.
For sure.
Okay, and it's going to be scheduled to arrive next week. How they schedule this.
No scheduled?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what time of
set,
day?
Set to arrive.
Oh, okay.
And we're expected to have a high concentration of dust particles.
Yuck. Just all with the heat and then this combined with this now?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, well, this affects Texas as well, although don't think Hill Country has an In-N-Out Burger. San Antonio does.
Yeah,
but
I'm pretty sure we don't.
Yeah. Anyway, this In-N-Out, most people are familiar with In-N-Out Burger. They're banning their employees from wearing masks at its all of its Texas restaurants, 41 restaurants in Texas, and in four other states where it operates. Failure to comply will result in disciplinary action.
All right.
And unless you have a medical note, you have to have a note from your doctor. And what In-N-Out says, the company, the decision was intended to improve customer service by showing off employees' smiles. you've seen the, I think we've seen those masks where the smile is drawn on.
Yes.
But they're not doing that. They said, you employees from now on, got to wear a mask unless they have a medical note, and the note should clearly come from a physician, should clearly state the reason for the exemption, and include the estimated duration if applicable. Now, of course, they're getting blowback from, guess where, Columbia University in New York. a scientist with Columbia says the policy is discriminatory and harmful. What? How's it harmful? Who's it harming?
Yeah, really.
Discriminatory. It's discriminating. Yeah.
Discriminating against people who want to wear masks.
So they're a protected class legally now? Probably wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, really.
Well, this scientist is named Lucky, Dr. Lucky Tran. Okay. I don't know if that's a man or a woman. I'm not sure he knows, or she. Lucky Tran is this person's name. Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah. What else did they say? Oh, in October of 21, In-N-Out San Francisco location, of course, California. That's where they're from, by the way, based. They were forced to close its doors temporarily for flouting a local mandate that required indoor customers to show proof of vaccination. 2 weeks later, another In-N-Out restaurant in California was also closed down for the same reason. In-N-Out's chief legal and business officer, Arnie Wensinger, said, quote, "We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government."
All right.
Good for you, man. And Arnie Wensinger, In-N-Out's chief legal and business officer. I wish there were an In-N-Out burger around here. We might we might give them our business. So next time you see an In-N-Out burger, go in there and...
say thank you.
Say thank you. And don't wear a mask either.
Did you know, Bill, did you know that Donald Trump hosted actor Jim Caviezel and Tim Ballard at the Sound of Freedom screening?
No kidding. Cool.
In his theater in, I believe Bedminster, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And if you haven't heard about it yet, Sound of Freedom, it's a surprise box office hit. It's based on a former government agent's pursuit to, and that would be Tim Ballard, pursuit to rescue child sex trafficking victims. And it has grossed more than $100 million at the domestic box office.
That's profitable, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think they only spent like $14.5 million producing it. And that's, by today's movie standards, that's not much at all.
Well, that's terrific. What did you tell me that AMC theaters are doing, though? You don't remember?
Okay. No, I don't.
Well, I remember what you told me. AMC Theaters, which, by the way, is now owned by a Chinese company, Chinese ties to the Chinese communists.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. They are on purpose turning the volume off so that people demand refunds.
During this one movie.
So that people demand refunds.
And they're turning air conditioning off in some places?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, "Oh, the air conditioning's broken. It's only broken during this playing of Sound of Freedom."
Yeah, I don't get it. It's a crowdfunded the film. I assume everybody knows what crowdfunding is.
Mm-hmm. You go on the internet and you give them some money, hoping you make some money.
Right. And if
you did, you made some money.
Yeah, and it's based on the true story of, as I said, Tim Ballard, who was a former Department of Homeland Security agent. Who tries to save children who have been sex trafficked.
And Rolling Stone magazine and some of these other super left-wing magazines are having fits over this movie.
And I don't get why.
Because they're in favor of child sex trafficking.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's the only rational
conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, how can somebody be in favor of it? Well, there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Yeah. And actually, we're in an upcoming, I don't know what, sometime in the next month or so, we're going to be having a victim of sex trafficking on. She was.
Well, we might. If we can get her on, we might. That's a possibility.
Well, apparently what she told us, and apparently what they do with these kids, is they get them addicted.
Well, we're still vetting that story.
Addicted to cocaine.
Yeah, she said she woke up with an IV in her arm and she was in a dog cage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're still vetting that story, so we don't promise anything. Let me see. There's a brand new study that just came out from ammo.com. I didn't know there was an ammo.com, but it sounds interesting. AMMO. They looked at current gun laws in every state, current legislators' past voting history, taxes, and more. And the question is, how do states rank in gun ownership? Well, you'd say, Texas got to be number one. Well, I'm afraid not. Our legislators need to learn from the number one state. Number one state was New Hampshire.
Hmm.
New Hampshire. They have incredibly relaxed gun laws, low crime rates. Let me see. I've got the... What has it got here? More on New Hampshire. Here we are. New Hampshire is a permitless... I guess, is that a word? Permitless? There's no permit required. How about that?
Okay.
To carry in New Hampshire. They have among the lowest crime rates of any state. They're in the top three, I think, for low crime rates. But they have almost virtually no gun laws. The state honors every other state's permits. You don't have to go through safety courses or fingerprinting or anything else. Let's see. Okay. Anyway, that's something that we could learn. But a big thing about New Hampshire, why it ranks number one, there's no state sales tax. So you don't pay a tax on firearms or ammo or any equipment involved in that. So that's number one. West Virginia is number two. Arkansas is number three in most gun-friendly states. Montana is number four. Mississippi is number five. Now you might think, well, what's happened to Texas? Where's Texas?
Well, for one thing, our sales tax is high. We moved here from Virginia.
That's true.
And you know, we thought our sales tax was high there, and we came to Texas, and it was double.
Yeah.
And property taxes are substantial, more than double what we paid in Virginia.
Yeah, that's true. And we had schools were rated in Fairfax County number one in the nation.
Exactly.
And a lot more money goes to schools here, but they're not rated number one in the nation. So you got, you also have in New Hampshire, if you're in a self-defense situation, you may be protected from prosecution if you're protecting life or property, and you have no duty to retreat in a situation like that. And that's the same in Texas. Texas, we have prosecutorial protections when we're protecting our lives, someone else's life, and even property, and we don't have a duty to retreat. So Governor Abbott is doing a lot on this, but we are still number eight primarily because of our sales tax, and we do have concealed carry without a permit, and Texas honors 44 other states' concealed carry permits. That's where Texas is, so we got to work on getting to be number one. We want to be number one. Number one. And one more thing about New Hampshire, which Texas legislators could take a cue from.
Live free or die.
Live free or die. That's their motto.
It's on their license plates.
It is. Governor Sununu recently signed into law a bill that restricts the state's law enforcement from enforcing federal laws that infringe on an individual's right to gun ownership.
All right.
So if there's a federal law that infringes on an individual's right to gun ownership, the governor and the legislature have passed a law that says the state's law enforcement will not enforce that law or those laws. So how about them apples? Wow. Well, what you got coming up, Allison? I know I've got a lot coming up.
Okay, I have an outrage of the week coming up.
Okay, I've got a story about Hunter Biden's lawyer that you won't believe. I mean, what a clown show that is. What a bunch of idiots. So we got that coming up. Oh my gosh, we've got, here's a bizarre tweet. One of the squad members, you know what they are, said about the climate. This is wild. This is wild. And let's see. You're talking about Texas being one of the best states for gun ownership. Well, far left CNBC, also known as CDNC, published a list of 10 worst states. And guess what? Number one, the worst state, according to CNBC, is.
Oh, I saw that headline.
Yeah. Well, you'll know when we come back from this short break. And we, of course, are Bill and Allison. We're coming up on the news, which you want to stay tuned for. And we've got so much. Here, I'll pull this up to the microphone to show you how much stuff we got to talk about. And we got some funny stuff going on. So you just need to stay with us. Because, again, we are Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station for the entire Hill Country. We'll be back right after the news.
Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back. I'm Allison.
Glad to have you. You're Allison,
now,
aren't you?
Now, here's the host of Let's Get Hiring. Wink, I gotta make more.
Thanks, Johnny. Are you ready to play? Okay, Jenny, what can you do to help your family live a better life?
Get a new job?
Can you be a little more specific?
Get a job doing radio sales for the Ranch Radio Marketing Group?
That's correct. Okay, Zach, here's your question. Where can you spend your days making great money, enjoy awesome benefits, paid time off, and profit sharing?
The beach?
Oh, not even close. Oh. Same question to you, Valerie.
It says right here on my script, the Ranch Radio Marketing Group.
Great job reading, Valerie. For 500 bonus points, do you know how to contact the Ranch Radio Marketing Group?
Duh, it says it right here. Fill out an application at ranchrmg.com or email a resume to hr@ranchrmg.com.
That's right.
The Ranch Radio Marketing Group is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back again.
Yeah, just keep welcoming you back.
Oh, I'm Allison.
Yes, you are. Far left.
And who are you?
I'm not sure. I mentioned this story before the news break. CNBC, or some would call it more accurately CDNC, published a list of America's 10 worst states. And this will shock you. They are all deep Republican states, with Texas judged the worst state.
Yeah, I saw the headline, but I didn't bother to read the story.
Really? California is not in there. New York is not in there. Michigan's not in there. Illinois is not in there.
What are they ranking them on?
What are they ranking them on? Stupid left-wing categories no sane person cares about when they look for a place to live. That's what they're ranking it on. Okay. Crime rates. Environmental quality. Inclusiveness in state laws. Voting rights. Okay. Let's pick this apart. Voting rights means basically the easier it is for Democrats to steal elections, the higher your state's going to score. Okay, according to CDNC. Also included is the right to murder your unborn child. That if your state allows that, that ranks higher, according to CNBC. That's because murder is more convenient than taking responsibility for the life you created through your own voluntary actions. Something else a stupid survey ignores. The crime and pollution, they say, oh, these states have high crime and high pollution. Those are in the Democrat-run cities in these states. That's for they're high because of Democrats and George Soros prosecutors in places like San Antonio, Houston, Dallas. That's the reason that you have high crime. But you look at the whole state, it's not. You get, you know, if you get out of the crime areas, the high crime inner cities that are all run by Democrats, you know, Texas is a fantastic place. The rural areas, are you kidding me? Hill country, you know, people are friendly. There's, you
exactly.
know, the you know, it's, you know, I you know, it bothers me. But, you know, by the way, I was thinking this morning, Allison, speaking of crime.
You were thinking?
I was thinking, actually, thinking this morning. I was thinking of crime. Now, poor black areas in the inner cities are mostly black, okay, and poor. The crime, therefore, is committed by mostly black people,
because
mm-hmm. they're a majority there. Therefore, if you're against crime, you're against black people. Crime is thinking being against crime is racist.
Well, that does remind me when I was living in Washington D.C. before we even met, I was mugged, and of course the muggers were black.
No, I won't say of course. That's a racist thing to say. Don't say that.
I'm sorry. This is Washington D.C.
All right, you were in a black area.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean just that I lived in
a majority black city.
All right.
I mean the population is probably, what, 85-90% black.
Okay, but the way this came out sounded horrible.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I contacted the police, and they came, and when they saw me, they just sort of rolled their eyes, and they said, do you want to prosecute? And I said, you betcha. That because they assumed, because I was this blonde white woman, that I was not going to prosecute. But I said, you betcha I'm prosecuting. And so it was really interesting because the police testified on my behalf.
Well, very good. Mm-hmm. They also told you to get a gun and learn how to use it, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool.
But they said, make sure you learn how to use it. Oh, okay. You were just talking about CNN.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned this week that Fox News matches employee contributions to organizations. Such as Planned Parenthood and the Satanic Temple.
Have you checked that out?
Mm-hmm.
You have. You know that for a fact?
Mm-hmm. You don't believe me.
Why do I doubt you?
You don't believe me.
Fox News donates to the Satanic Temple?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
All right.
Yes,
all
they
right.
do.
Okay. I know that. I know it's run by a bunch of lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since they fired Roger Ailes, mm-hmm. who founded the Fox News, what's his name's sons run it now,
mm-hmm.
and they're a bunch of lefties. One of his wives, one of the sons' wives, was a big contributor to Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, they fired a whole bunch of conservatives at Fox News, including Tucker,
mm-hmm.
so lately. Speaking of corruption, the Biden family has opened more than 20 shell companies to hide payments and launder money, according to the House committee investigating them. House Committee Chairman James Comer says, quote, we found all these shell companies set up by the Biden family that make absolutely no sense. I don't believe they paid a penny of revenue taxes on most of the millions of dollars they received from our adversaries around the world.
Wow.
And in a new poll, 56% of voters believe that Biden likely took bribes while in office. By more than 2-1, voters believe the whistleblowers who are saying that they did. Of course, you won't hear this on the mainstream media. The study was just done. Coverage from June 8th to July 18. ABC, CBS, and NBC devoted 527 minutes to the story of the Trump indictment. And you know how many minutes they devoted to the Biden bribery allegations, Allison?
Zero.
Zero. 0 minutes. Zero minutes to the Biden bribery allegations because they want to cover it up. Well, it's confusing to a lot of people. It's been confusing to me. I haven't been watching the hearings. I've been reading summaries of them. But it's been interesting to kind of dig through all this, and it's confusing to a lot of people. So what I'd like to do, take the next couple of minutes here see how much time we have. I think we have time for this. To tell you what the congressional committee has found out based on insiders with the Biden organization and other people who have come out and said, this is what's going on. One of them is an informant who is not named, but he told the congressional committee that conversations that he has had with a man named Mykola Zolchevsky, who is the founder of the Ukrainian oil and natural gas company Burisma. They had hired Hunter Biden as a member of the company's board during the Obama-Biden administration, despite Biden's part of his duties were handling Ukraine. So Burisma, which hired Hunter Biden, was at the time facing an investigation for corruption. And Biden would later publicly brag about successfully pressuring the Ukrainian government to fire the prosecutor investigating Burisma by threatening to withhold money from Ukraine. This is not an allegation. This is not a theory. We have it in Joe Biden's own words. He was at the Council on Foreign Relations giving a talk, a little panel discussion, and he admitted it, and we have the audio.
I remember going over convincing our team, our others to convincing that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a, got fired, and they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Now, that was Joe Biden, obviously, bragging about how he pressured the Ukrainian government to fire the prosecutor investigating Burisma, on which Hunter Biden was given millions of dollars as a member of the board of directors to do nothing. To do nothing. According to the House committee investigating this, a top Burisma official said Burisma had hired Hunter Biden to, quote, protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems. Don't worry, Hunter will take care of all issues affecting Burisma through his dad, including getting the prosecutor fired. Now, around the time Joe Biden was vice president, the prosecutor was investigating, and as you heard, Joe Biden said, "Fire him, or we're not getting any money to Ukraine." Joklevsky, who is the head of Burisma, said, quote, "It took $5 million to pay one Biden off and $5 million to pay another Biden off." He also said, although Hunter Biden was, quote, stupid, and, quote, my dog is smarter than Hunter Biden, he said he needed to keep Hunter Biden on the board, quote, so everything will be okay. Joseffsi said, the head of Burisma, both Hunter Biden and Joe Biden told him to hire Hunter Biden. And, of course, Joe Biden says, I have never discussed my son's business. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. Look, outrageous lie. Joseffsi, again, the head of Burisma, said he wasn't happy about Trump winning the presidency. He said he didn't want to pay the Bidens, but he was pushed to pay them. He also said the prosecutor had already been fired. No investigation was going on after Joe Biden was elected. Nobody would find out about his financial dealings with the Bidens. He said he had many text messages and recordings that showed he was coerced to make payments to the Bidens. Joseffsi said it would take investigators 10 years to find the records of any of the illicit payments to Joe Biden. On June 29th of 2020, Joseffsi said he had a total of 17 recordings, 2 that included Joe Biden, 15 that included Hunter Biden, and he has 2 documents, which are wire transfer statements and bank records, that evidence payments to the Bidens, the bribery that was made in exchange for the prosecutor's firing. So that's Joe Biden for you.
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated. I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
Actually, we do.
Well, first of all, does he think Satan's dead? How do you get reincarnated? Oh, man. Well, I suppose on this same story, you've been following the cocaine found in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dan Bongino is not letting it die easily. He says he's been talking to his social network of fellow agents, and I don't need to summarize it. Let's hear from Dan Bongino. You know who he is? Former Secret Service agent for many years. Now with
fired from Fox.
Fired. You know, he says he wasn't fired, I don't think. But anyway, you know, maybe he has to say that. But right. Anyway, former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino, this is what he has to say about the cocaine found in the White House, and the White House saying, the FBI and the secret, let me get this straight, the Secret Service saying, oh, we can't, you know, we don't know who it was, no fingerprints or anything. Here's Dan Bongino.
There's no way that this should have went down the way it did. Let me just say, as a personal plea to my former colleagues in the Secret Service who I adore and love, don't do with that agency what the FBI did to itself, okay? If you're not familiar with how Secret Service security works at the White House, without getting into details, but enough where you'll understand what happened. When you go in the West Wing, right, it's totally different than the East Wing. The West Wing is a limited access area. The East Wing is large. They do tours. Thousands of people go through there, okay? Ushers, staff, whatever. The West Wing is limited access, even more limited access on the weekend. And not that many people can get tours. It's really hard. People used to come to me for tours of the West Wing all the time. And I was like, I can't do anything for you. They're limited access. So there's probably less than 200 people who could have left this cocaine, by the way, in a bag, which is plastic, which is non-porous, meaning it's probably not that hard to pull a latent print. They got to know who did it. The question is, who's pressuring them to find out, to not find out who did it? And it's got to be coming from this White House. This is terrible. Just don't destroy this agency like you did the FBI. It's really unbecoming. And one more thing. A lot of my former colleagues in the Secret Service who retired, they are absolutely furious about this.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I tell you, I got 50 emails, communications, texts from people. This is embarrassing, humiliating. These are good guys, man. Guys who've worked for Obama and Bush, you know, the nonpartisan guys. Most of them aren't even political. This is embarrassing. They know exactly who it was. The question is it Hunter or one of his friends? But, like, here's the thing. So I'm in the Secret Service 12 years, you know, a good amount of time. We never had this problem. So nobody, by Occam's razor, right? The process of deduction, keep things simple, keep it simple, stupid, Occam's razor. Right? You got this guy. We never found coke in there before. You got a dude who's doing coke on tape, who's got a reputation of being a cokehead. He's living in the White House. He's there on Friday. The coke's found on Sunday, and everybody's like, gosh, who could it be? I mean, this is like, it reminds me of that Jon Stewart bit with the COVID lab with Stephen Colbert. Like, I don't know what could have done it. Your card says the Wuhan coronavirus lab. Like, who could have done it? This is one of those crazy stories where you just, again, you're begging him, like, please don't do this. You're going to destroy faith in this elite agency. Remember, the Secret Service motto is worthy of trust and confidence. That's literally their motto. Don't do this. They know who did this. It is probably him or someone in his small circle of people. They know who it was. Get the job done. Do the right thing. And just move on. I know it's going to be tough politically, but you got to have some guts here.
That was Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent. You know his name. You know, probably seen him on Fox a lot, talking about the cocaine that was found in the White House and the Secret Service saying, who could it possibly be? We have no idea. You know, it's probably the most secure and most surveilled room in the world, in the West Wing of the White House. And Alison and I have been there, actually.
Yes, we have.
That's another story. Let's see. Well, going on.
But we didn't leave any baggies.
We didn't leave any baggies in there, no. But I didn't see any either. That was before Biden made the place a clown show.
Reagan was president.
But considering what's happening, okay. Considering what's happening. On top of all this, I mean, Hunter Biden this past Thursday visited his main lawyer, Kevin Morris. He took a trip from his $33,000 a month Malibu apartment, Hunter Biden did, to visit his attorney in a very ritzy area of Malibu, L.A., and while he was visiting him, his attorney went on the balcony in plain view of the public street with a white bong and started sniffing from it. And if, in case you don't know, a bong is used for marijuana or hashish. Now, as we all know, Hunter Biden is a drug addict. He's admitted to being a drug addict in court. Well, his lawyer, this guy Kevin Morris, is a legal heavyweight. He's involved in nearly every aspect of Hunter Biden's life. Last year, Hunter Biden hired Morris to oversee his public relations and media strategies, and Morris reportedly paid Hunter's over $2 million IRS tax delinquency and bankrolled his $30,000 a month apartment in Malibu. And Morris is also at the center of Hunter Biden's newfound career of painting modern art, which is, according to the news story I'm looking at, it says it's an occupation connected to the to an art market that is known for corruption. Gee, is anybody surprised at that?
I mean, what do you get for $30,000 a month in an apartment?
You get to live in Malibu. You get to have a Malibu address.
I don't know. Malibu's nice.
Well, you can live in a trailer in Malibu for only, what, $1 million and $2 million?
Yes. Like for any of you who fans of the Rockford Files, it took place. It was actually filmed. As you know, Jim Rockford lived in a trailer, a single wide trailer on the beach, and that was in Malibu. And Bill and I have been quite a few times to the, and he would go to a restaurant that was right there on the beach. And Bill and I have been quite a few times to that restaurant. And although Rockford's trailer is not still there, but it is immediately next door to a trailer park. And those trailers, the last we heard, and this is quite a few years ago, they were selling for, well, what was it, $1 million?
They were in the million to $2 million range.
Uh-huh.
And these are not fancy trailers.
No, these are single wide trailers.
Single wides.
Yeah.
I mean they're on foundations. They're not just, you know, wheeled up there.
Well, and of course, the setting is fabulous.
Yeah, well,
you're on the beach in Malibu.
They're on a hill, I guess you'd call it, with a cliff. Well, I don't want to say cliff because that sounds really up there, but they're on a hill overlooking a beach in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're paying for that. You're not paying for the trailer.
Right, exactly.
But still, it's pretty cool to have a Malibu. It's the only trailer park in Malibu. And I guess they're grandfathered in, and I'm sure the Malibu city authorities would like to get rid of that. But, you know, who knows?
It's a great restaurant.
It's a reasonably priced restaurant, too, mm-hmm. as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been back more than once if it weren't.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. What you got, Allison?
Well, did you know that the 1930s was the hottest decade in the United States?
Well, actually, I have a story about a hot decade. I don't know if we'll get time for that, though. But no, the 1930s was hotter than... Because I thought, you know, global warming and the earth is getting hotter.
Yeah, and back in the 30s, there was far less CO2 than there is now. But most of the U.S. state temperature records were set in the 30s. Now, globally, it wasn't the hottest decade, but in the United States.
In the 1930s?
Mm-hmm.
So about 100 years ago, it was hotter than it is now in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Well, that's so much for the global warming. Well, you know, that's unique. I mean, people don't know about that. And by the way, speaking of carbon, CO2, did people not go to... Don't they teach this? They probably don't in elementary school. In elementary school, I learned that plants inhale carbon dioxide and they exhale oxygen. And that's what keeps the world alive.
Mm-hmm.
So how come CO2 now is so bad? It's a terrible thing. Without CO2, we wouldn't have any life on planet Earth.
Sure, that's a good point.
So have people forgotten elementary school? I don't know. Well, we are Bill and Allison. You are listening to the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station for the entire Hill Country. So if you can hear us, you're in Hill Country, unless you're listening online or listening to one of our podcasts, which are broadcast at
firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
That's where you can hear our past shows, and there's a little, you can download them to your favorite device. firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. We hope you'll tune in to that. Can you tune into a website? I don't know. I don't know if you can do that or not.
I think you tune in to
visit our website.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, there
exactly.
You go. Well, I see you're looking at something. What is that?
Well, we were talking about guns earlier and Texas and just various state regulations on guns.
Texas being, according to a poll or survey, the 8th best state for gun ownership.
Yeah.
We didn't make number one. New Hampshire made number one because they don't have a sales tax, and also because their governor, their legislature, has passed a law that says that if there's any federal laws that infringe with the Second Amendment, New Hampshire law enforcement is not to enforce that federal law. Okay. And we don't have that in Texas yet, but we ought to. Are you listening, Governor Abbott? That's what we ought to have.
So while we're talking about the Second Amendment, just last week in San Antonio, in a suburb of San Antonio, a man was at an ATM, and he had just gotten money out of the ATM, and he was parked next to the drive-up machine, ATM machine, and two men skidded to a stop in front of him. They jumped out of their car and demanded his money. He drew his own gun and shot them both.
Right. Wow. Was he arrested?
No. His name has been withheld, but no, he has not been arrested. Because apparently self-defense is legal in Texas.
Did he? Well, we just talked about that.
Oh, he killed them.
He killed them.
He killed them both.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we just talked about that. In Texas, you can protect your life, someone else's life, or your property with deadly force.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel your life is in danger, or even...
What's the name of that law about defending your property? Do you remember that?
Put me on the spot now. Castle?
Yeah, something. Yes.
Castle law or something. There's another word for it. Right. Something castle law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Castle doctrine or?
No, it's not, okay. Not quite it.
Because a man's home is his castle. Is
mm-hmm.
where they put
exactly.
It.
Yeah. But anyway, the San Antonio.
And I'm the king. I'm the king, Alice. The king.
Anyway, the San Antonio chief of police said that was a robbery that didn't go well for the robbers.
Oh, man. Don't you love it when police can joke about that?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, they say they're just looking at a victim of a robbery who was acting in self-defense.
Well, good. Good for San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a little factoid for you. Former President Obama has written a letter. It doesn't say where the letter goes, but he wrote a letter defending LGBTQ blah blah books in children's schools and public libraries.
Wow.
Okay, but he made a very revealing statement in his letter. Quote, he called these gay books some of the books, quote, some of the books that shaped my life. Yes.
Wow.
Obama said that these gay books are some of the books that has shaped my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, the allegations, there's a lot of allegations about his sexuality
that's right.
In Chicago. And, you know, people say a lot of things about where they saw him and what he was doing. I don't know. I mean, for one thing, at least I believe twice, if not more, during interviews, and you can find these on the internet, he called his wife Michelle Michael. I mean, who does that? I mean, I've never called you Albert.
Albert.
Albert. No, but he called his wife Michael I think maybe more than once. I think twice I heard, but. You know, we have, the Bill and Allison Show has a standing offer. You get a nice prize if you can provide us with a photograph of Michelle Obama pregnant. We are still waiting.
Well, earlier Bill was talking about politics in Illinois. And something that really surprised me, a few years ago, we were at a luncheon, and there was a man who had just recently run for governor as a Republican. He was defeated, but he won. Bill, do you remember how many counties he won?
I go from memory, I think there are 102 counties in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And he won 100 of them. I believe that was 99 or 100 of them.
Yeah, and he lost.
And he lost because
of Chicago.
Because of Cook County. And there was one other county, I believe, that he lost, and that was enough. So Cook County runs the politics of the state of Illinois, unfortunately. Exactly. There are talks of Southern Illinois. They talk about down it's called downstate. They're talking, there's been a lot of talk for years about seceding from Illinois and creating their own state, or seceding from, well, yeah, seceding from Illinois and creating their own state because of that. Because it doesn't matter who they vote for governor. You know, they're
exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's whoever Chicago wants it. So
exactly. Well, I told you I was going to talk about the outrage of the week. I applied for a Discover credit card recently, and they offered all sorts of benefits and cash back and all this jazz. So I said, "Oh, okay, this looks like a good deal." So I signed up for it, and I was. Got an email from Equifax, the credit agency, saying you need to fill out some information. Personal information is missing. And I said, well, so I emailed and figured out what it was. Well, what Discover wanted from me, what they were asking me to fill out a form authorizing the IRS to send them 2 years of my tax returns just to get a crummy credit card.
I've never heard of that.
No, I never have either. And I told Equifax, I said, I'm not going to, I absolutely refuse to sign that. And I said, I'd like to withdraw my application. And they said, well, we don't know how to do it. So
they don't know how to throw away an application.
Well, okay. They gave me Discover's phone number. Like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they wanted 2 years of my tax returns for a credit card.
Wow. Yeah, that's just an outrage. And people do it. Okay.
I guess. Here's my tax return. I guess. I've never been asked that.
What's happened to, you know, what's happened to financial privacy in this country? I mean, you never know when your online banking will be hacked and get all your financial information, and then they use it. Then they get your Social Security number, and then they can contact you and claim to be all sorts of things. And they have your Social Security number, so they can confirm that they are legitimate, which they're not. You know, remember Jack Einstein got a phone call. Our friend Jack Einstein got a phone. Now, don't say how old he is because he doesn't want that broadcast. But he's up in years, you might say. And
that's right. Okay.
You remember the story?
Yes.
About his grandson?
Yeah, he got a phone call that his grandson, a young man claiming to be his grandson, saying, Grandpa, I'm in Mexico, and I was out drinking a lot of margaritas last night, and the police picked me up, so they need money to get me out of jail in Mexico. Well, Jack laughed because he knew, number one, he'd just seen his grandson, so he knew he wasn't in Mexico. Number two, his grandson doesn't drink. But the way the scammers got his information, do you remember that?
No. Or was it an obituary?
Yes, it was obituary. Our friend Jack's wife had just died, and the obituary lists names of survivors. So it listed grandchildren. And listed the name of one of the grandchildren. So the scammer called Jack up, you know, the grieving widower, to say, oh, yeah, I'm your grandson, and I'm in jail in Mexico. I need money.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work, and Jack was smart enough. I think he asked him a couple of questions that only grandson would know. Like, what do you call your, you know, aunt or some pet name kid didn't know, because Jack was sharp enough to figure that out. But you know, there's all sorts of scams going on, and you need to be extra careful these days. Nobody's going to ever call you or contact you and ask you for bank information. No legitimate company is going to call you and ask you for your banking information, Social Security number, things like that. But you know, financial privacy is very tentative. I mean, most of us, you know, our net worth is digits on the internet, and you know what? That's pretty scary. Pretty scary. That's why I know a lot of people who invest in gold and silver, and they take personal possession of it. We've interviewed Franklin Sanders. If you want information on that, no better source that I know of is themoneychanger.com, and it's T-H-E, and you put a dash in, moneychanger.com. Franklin Sanders gives you tips on gold and silver and why you should have some and what form you should have it in and how you should hold it. And he believes in personally holding on to it. But it's difficult. And, you know, on that subject, what's happened to medical privacy? You know, it's mm-hmm. Your medical records are sacrosanct, you know, but not your vaccination status. That has to be public knowledge. Mm-hmm. In some states, to go to a restaurant, you have to show proof of vaccination.
Is that still true?
I don't know if it's still true, but it certainly was true in California, you know, during the plandemic. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's medical, private medical information. Mm-hmm. That's medical privacy. It's protected under federal law,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they violated that. It's like they violate all sorts of other things. But what do you want to do? What do you want to know? Glad we don't live in California. There's, you know, Governor Gavin Newsom is responsible for the most money that U-Haul has ever made. People moving out of the state. I read a statistic that if you want to rent a U-Haul in any other state, it's like, you know, $50 a day or $100 a day or whatever it is. And it's like $1,000. I'm making this up. It's like $1,000 a day in California because they don't have any because everybody's moving out of the state. So I don't know. But we live in such a weird time, an age of fake news and fake meat and fake genders. I don't know what to say.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Yeah.
I haven't thought about the fake genders.
Fake genders, too.
But that's a good point.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Oh, man. We are Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. Our business website, if you're interested in real estate, is papersourceonline.com, papersourceonline.com. And our radio show, of course, we're on hillcountrypatriot.com, but we're also on firstcoupleoftexasradio.com for our past shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell you what, Allison, time flies like an arrow, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
And you know what else? Fruit flies like a banana. So think about that one for a while.
I'm going to talk about bananas next week.
Oh, can't wait for that. Oh, we end every show with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. Join us next Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock, here on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. Bye, Allison. Bye.
Bye, Bill.